Some sound on, there you go, can you hear me? Are we all sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin.
That dates you.
I know, showing my age. I don't know if you've ever been in a position where you've had the privilege of being able to share with others, but if you have, you'll probably understand that it's daunting and exciting at the same time. It's nerve-wracking, even if you're somebody that is familiar with speaking in public. When you're bringing God's word, it has a different dimension to it. And if you haven't done that and you get the opportunity to minister God's word, you'll understand what I'm saying. And I have a title for today and maybe next week. And it's Jesus says, come follow me and I will. And I want you to fill the blanks in. Come follow me and I will. Because I just want to share something before I put any scripture on the board. As a child, growing up, and as a teenager, I was pretty much an individual. I was pretty much someone that I had no hobbies. I had no idols, in the sense I didn't idolize anyone or anything. I didn't have any pop stars that I had a crush on. I didn't have any football stars that really inspired me. I was one of them peculiar kids that I can honestly say I had no vices as such that I knew about as I was growing up through my younger years and into my teenage years. I never had that opportunity, if it is an opportunity, to idolize someone. I never bought a record. I never bought a book. I know, hard to believe, but I am that man. And I didn't know that God had his hand on me at that time. It's easy to say when you're looking backwards, isn't it, that the Lord has his hand on you. I grew up in an area where, I've said this many times, but Mum opened the door and said, come back when you're hungry. If you get lost, then I'll wait for you to come home. It's one of them relationships that I had. Did she love me? Yes, she did, but I was on my own. And I grew up probably a bit of a loner. I grew up somebody that had his own mind. I wasn't influenced by other people. I wasn't influenced by the latest fad or the latest fashion. No, that's not true. I was influenced by the latest fashion. I used to have a haircut that was like a beacon. You know, one of them things that you have on the side of the road when you go over a zebra cross, and my hair used to grow out, not up. And I used to have trousers which were about that wide each leg. So yeah, I was influenced by fashion, but that was about it. Girls interested me, but they scared the life out of me, so I didn't go down that road too often. But I understand that as I look back, I was almost aimless. I was almost wandering in the wilderness, as the Bible would say it. And I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but you think you're on a road to somewhere, and it actually is a road to nowhere. It just goes round and round and round. And I used to say this about myself, I will follow any good leader, but they have to lead. And that's not arrogance, that's just how I was. It's just that I had friends who weren't leading me in the right direction, so I wouldn't go. I was very, very blessed in that sense that I never followed the crowd. I was speaking with someone today, and they encouraged me by just sharing something that they had given to them. And it was a picture of, they was on a mountain pass, and I may have it wrong, but the crux of the matter is right. And they was walking on this path, and it was high up in the mountains, and there was a narrow, narrow, narrow ledge, and they was walking along this ledge, and there was people following him. And as he got to the end, the ledge disappeared, and there was nothing there, and fear would start to rise. And then all of a sudden, he looked over to the left, and there was a way to escape. So he jumped, and he got to freedom, somewhere solid. And when he opened his eyes, others were there with him. So who are you following? Are you following someone or something, the latest whatever it is, the latest sensation on the internet, the latest church minister, whatever it may be, the worship leader, a prophetic individual? Are you following them? Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you. Before I go into my message, I just want to share something that I feel is important for us as a church and those that have children or grandchildren. I'm going to take a little bit of time on this because I was contacted this week. This is not my story to tell apart from the part that I had to play in it, so I won't mention names. But I had a telephone call from someone who used to fellowship with us. And they were was given information about a four-year-old child and his mother. And it was, if you, all I'm going to say is there's darkness and there's light, and this was not light. And he said, I'm speaking to a colleague of mine, and the only person that I could think of that I trusted was you. And I found that quite humbling. But the Bible says that a tree is known by its fruit. So I spoke with him, and then I spoke with the brother of the family, and then I went over to minister to this family and this four-year-old boy, and I'm not going to go into detail. But we need to pray for our children. We need to pray for our grandchildren. There is a difference within the spiritual realm. There is a difference for those that are being prayed over and prayed for and those that aren't. You see, those that we pray for are not in the wilderness. They might think that they are, but they're not. There is a plan and there is a pathway, and we can pray that into being. But those that have nobody to pray for them, they're in the wilderness just going round and round and round. And when we're in the wilderness going round and round, it's so easy for us to fall into a pit and not be able to get out of it. So can I just pray a generic prayer for our family, our children, our grandchildren, those that you know who've got neighbours and friends of children? Because prayer works, doesn't it? Maybe as I journey with this family, I can share the exciting things that happened on that day, but it's not my story to tell yet. But Father God, we thank you that there is darkness and light. We don't thank you for the darkness, but we thank you that you are the light that shines in the darkness. Where there is light, there can be no darkness. So the light of the love of the Lord that lives in us, Father God. Your word says that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So Father God, we pray with the authority that you've given us. We take the hyssop and we dip it in the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, and we apply it over the doorposts of our children, our grandchildren, our neighbours, our friends, our colleagues. We pray, Father God, that you would protect them, that when the evil one tries to come, he will pass over. That, Father God, that you will bring about a revelation. You will bring about an opening of the blind eyes and the deaf ears. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right, let's get in today's message. So, come follow me and I will make you. So, you can understand that today is going to be about following. I'm going to use the word following. But this first scripture in Leviticus 20 verse 6, it says this, I will set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists. Who will? God will. You know, this is talking in the Old Testament, but when we look at principle of darkness and light, it's the same thing. It's the same thread that will run through the Bible. So we need to be aware that God wasn't just talking to his people. He's talking to us. And the same truth is the same truth today. I set my face against anyone who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute themselves by following them. I will cut them off from their people. And what God does when we turn to spiritualists and mediums, we're cut off from his grace. Now you might say, Andrew, but we're Christians, we're church. You know, you can say to a Christian, are you a Christian? And I'll go, yeah, I follow what the Bible says. I didn't ask that. Are you a Christian? Well, I try to do good. I didn't ask that. I said, are you a Christian? Well, you know, my mum and my dad went to church and I'm in the same family. I didn't ask that. I said, are you a Christian? So what's a Christian? A follower of Christ. Are you following Christ? Or are you following a set of rules and regulations? You think, now I know I'm talking to the converted, so much of this will go over your heads, but it's still a conversation that if we believe in the spiritual, if we believe in the supernatural, even our words won't come back void. Even our words will go out and produce something if it's God's word that he's speaking through us. So are we following Jesus, or are we following our own understanding? You know, you go to some churches, and I use that word loosely, and I'm not going to be critical because it's not my place to be, but I can judge the church. The Bible says, judge the church. God's coming back to judge people, but we can judge one another. It says, you can judge me by my fruit, and I can judge you by your fruit. A tree is known by its fruit, the Bible says, yes? So good, bad, or ugly, we can make a judgment. We shouldn't be judgmental, but we can make a judgment. And you can go into some churches, and they will sing the right songs, but they won't mention sin. They won't mention the blood of Jesus. They won't mention redemption. They won't mention that salvation comes by faith alone, in Christ alone, through grace alone. They may say that if you give more money, they may say if you do good deeds, if you do good works. But that's not what Jesus asks. He says, it's not what he tells us. He says, come follow me and I will make you. So who are we following is what I want to ask us today. And in Numbers 14:20, it says this. The Lord replied, I have forgiven them. This is a whole story about the wilderness. So when I was talking about my own life, I can look back and say, I was walking around in the wilderness. God had a plan for me, but I just kept going round and round in circles. And maybe for me, there was things, that lessons I needed to learn before God could say, now the gate is open, walk. Now I'm calling you, walk. And that didn't happen until I was in my 30s or 30. I was 30 years old and God revealed himself to me. And suddenly I stopped walking round and round and started walking on the narrow pathway. But who knows that sometimes that narrow pathway, we can't see what's in front of us at times, but we have to walk by faith. That's what that picture was given this morning. That's what that dream was about, trust me. Who are we following? Are we following the lead of the Holy Spirit? Are we following the person that's in front? And it's okay to follow people as long as they're following Christ. So I just want to encourage us. And when we look at this portion of scripture here, we're talking about that whole journey in the wilderness. The Egyptians, were talking about what Moses has said. We're talking about what God has said. Nevertheless, as surely as I live, surely as the glory of the Lord fills the whole earth, not one of those who saw my glory and the signs I performed in Egypt in the wilderness will enter that promised land. You know, there was a promise that God gave his people, but because they chose to be disobedient, they went round and round and round. And we may be saved. We're going from death to life, yes? But there's still times as Christians we can keep going round and round until we get to that point where we say, Lord, not my way, but your way. Or if you want to use a different language, not my way, but Yahweh. You know, Lord, I want to do it your way. I want to stop and I want to move where you call me to move. Now, when you look through that portion of scripture, you'll get the idea of the spies. Look at the story if you don't understand it. One of the things that is really encouraging in this portion of scripture is God already gave his people the answer. He said, go and possess the land that I am giving you. So when we look through the Bible, let's go to the New Testament. God gives you promises. He says, I am. I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand in the way. I will bless you. I will encourage you. I will correct you. I will direct you. He'd already given his people the answer to the question, yet they grumbled and they kept going round and round. And he said, not one of you will enter into the fullness of my promise except. And he spoke here, my servant Caleb had a different spirit. He followed me wholeheartedly. You know, we can follow half-heartedly, that means, doesn't it? How many of you have heard that illustration? Is your cup half full or half empty? Well, I know people who, they just have a little bit in the bottom, let alone half full. They seem to be half empty. But Caleb had a different spirit. He followed God wholeheartedly. So my question to us as a church, as we move forward into the plans and purposes that God has for us, if I can use that as a catchphrase as such, come follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you. What will he make you? Let's fill in the blanks. In Deuteronomy 4:1, it says this. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Yes, this is Old Testament, but God still instructs us today, doesn't he? He still says, if you do this, then I'll do that. If you don't do this, then I won't do that. I remember listening to, I think it's someone like Steve Chalk, he was on the radio in the days before he went way off the mark. He was asked a question. He was said, someone rang in and said, oh, this Christian stuff, I don't like it. And he said, why? He said, it's full of do's and don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that and don't do the other. And he said, no, does it? Don't be flippant with me, the caller says. You know it says. He said, oh, just give me one. He says, do not murder. He said, oh, I know the one. Do not murder because you'll end up in prison or, depending on the country you live in, you'll end up being executed. I remember that one. Do not commit adultery because you'll ruin your life and those around you. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Oh, I know the ones you speak about. So when we talk about the decrees and the laws, we know that the law is written on our hearts. When I spoke to this family this week, I said to this lady who looked as if she was a rabbit caught in headlights, I said, you are full of fear. But you know, from my perspective, there's only dark and light. You know what's dark and you know what's light. I don't need to explain to you. We know what's dark in our lives and we know what is light. But Jesus, the Lord says here, follow them. Follow the things I teach you. The things that are going to encourage you. That you may live and that you may go and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. So if we take that Old Testament scripture and we just bring it into life, you know, because the Bible, that thread, it goes right the way through Old Testament to New Testament. We just apply it to our lives today. We say, Lord, through our relationship, you have promises for us. Honor your parents and you get long life. There's a promise. I'll never leave you or forsake you. There's a promise. But there's things we need to do. So do we become Christians and say, that's it, my bit's done. I made a confession, now I can live as much of sinful life as I want to. The answer is no. We have that responsibility to stay close to him. If we want to walk in the plans and purposes that he has for us, we need to walk following him. Not following our way, but following his way. So this is a message of encouragement, because for many of us, we already have the answer. We want to follow Jesus. But it's good to be reminded to when we have conversations and when we see people and we see churches and we see ministries and we think, hang on, they're encouraging people to follow them. Yet Jesus said, come follow me. Paul even said, come follow me as I follow Christ. He didn't say, come follow me and I will lead you. Do it my way. He says, no, come follow me as I follow Christ. So as we walk forward and other people follow us, they're following you. They're following us. But are we following Christ? Because if we are, we'll end up into a place of promise. And if we're not, we'll end up into a place of destruction and bring other people with us. It says 3 days later, this is a story about kings. This is a story about whose advice are you going to follow? This king, he asked his elders, the wise men of the region, what should I do with these people? And they said, treat them well. Look after them. And they will serve you forever. Treat them well. Look after your people. And they will willingly serve you. And yet he ignored the advice of the elders, the mature men of the village. And he went to the young men. And they said, show your authority. They think they had it bad under your father. They're going to get it even worse under you. So my question is, whose advice are you following? You know, we can look in books, we can look online, we can go to family, we can go to friends, we can go to our leaders in church, we can go to many people and gain advice. But if they are not following Jesus, then the advice they give you won't be the best advice. So whenever we think about something that we want to do, something that we want to get counsel on, let's be reminded through today's message who we're following. Whose advice are we following? And it's underlined here in yellow. Follow the advice of the young men? No. Follow Jesus. So I want to encourage us that when we ask that question, when we see that whole illustration where the Lord says, come follow me and I will make you, or I will encourage you, I will sustain you, I will protect you. You can put whatever you want on that. But it only becomes powerful when the first line is, I follow you, Lord. Lead me. And in 2 Chronicles 21:13, it says, but you have followed the ways of the kings of Israel, and you have led Judah and the people of Jerusalem to prostitute themselves, just as the house of Ahab did. You have also murdered your own brothers, members of your own family, men who were better than you. Who are you following? It says further up here, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says. You have not followed the ways of your father Jehoshaphat. When we look at people in our lives, hopefully some of you will have people that you could say that they mentored me, or you can have the first pastors in your church encouraged you. They're imperfect men serving a perfect God. I understand that. You could have a brother or a sister spiritually who prayed for you and encouraged you. And you can say, I learned from that individual and I followed their ways because they followed Jesus. You see, so often we can look at the world around us and we can see influential men, women, and influential circumstances, businesses. You know, we can look at the Elon Musk of this world and go, wow, he's rich and famous, I'm going to follow him. We can look at Branson and say, I'm going to follow him. We can look at, I can't think of his name, anyway, the head of Amazon. I'm going to follow him. But all they will do is lead you to destruction, unless they're following Christ. If they're following Christ, then there's something that we can glean from them. So who are you following? You know, who is it we follow on? I'm a dinosaur, even worse than Ken, because I don't have a Facebook account. I don't have an online presence. So I get people who request that they can follow me. And I do nothing about it because I don't want an online presence at this time unless the Lord calls me to. But in that sense, we follow people so that their profile comes up on our profile. And they can be positive or they can be negative, yes? Because when you follow them, I'm not sure if I've got this right, but when you follow them, you get access to who they're following. And then who they're following. And who they're following. And the one that you're following might be somebody that is really good and clean in their living, but the one that they're following and they're following and they're following isn't. It gets diluted over time. So we have to come back to say, who am I following? Who do I need to unfollow? Because it says, but you followed the ways of the kings of Israel. They prostituted themselves. They sold themselves into slavery, in other words. And the Bible says that it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. So when we follow Jesus, he doesn't lead us to destruction, does he? He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us into freedom. In Psalm 81, verse 13, it says, if my people will only listen to me. As a parent, I've said that at times, if only they would listen to me. If only they took my advice. If only they didn't go there when I said don't go there. If only they didn't do that when I said don't do that. And this is God speaking. If my people would only listen to me, if Israel would only follow my ways, how quickly I would subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. If only my people would do the things I ask them to do, I would protect them. I would fight their battles for them. You know, there are times that we go into circumstances and situations and God says, just follow me and I will lead you. Just follow me and I will make you. Just follow me and I will give you what to say when you need to say it. You have to have that peace. When I went into this situation with this dark and light, was I confident? No. Was I confident in God's ability? Yes. Did I realize that he that was in me is greater than he that is in the world? Yes. So could I go in with confidence? Yes. Why? Because he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. And there's an authority that God gives his people. So I suggest you don't walk into those places without that authority. But when God leads, you can follow with the full assurance that he's already gone before you to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. So I want to encourage us as a church by asking the question, when Jesus says, come follow me, he will make. Lord, I'm struggling with this. Follow him and he will make you. Lord, I don't feel that I can. Come follow me and I will make you. I will make a way where there seems to be no way. In Matthew 15, 14, it says, leave them, they are blind guides. This, the blind leading the blind. Ever been there? It's like someone will ask me how to do some electrics and Nigel will say, Andrew, that's the blind leading the blind. Why? Because I don't know anything about electrics apart from I plug it in, it works. I take it to bits, put my fingers in, I die. I know that, but anything in between, I don't. I'd be a blind guide if you asked me to give you information on electrics or electronics. I'm a blind guide. But when it comes to Scripture, I'm not blind, are you? See, God has opened the eyes of the blind. That's what he said to us. He's opened the eyes of the blind. So that means if you are a Christian, a follower of Christ, then you have your eyes open. But when we look at this portion of Scripture here, Jesus talks about the dull people. He talks about those that haven't seen what he's saying because they've been following the wrong pathway. Jesus says, come follow me and I will make you. I will make you. I will encourage you. I will bless you. In Matthew 4:19, come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Or in other versions, come follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You see, we're not instantly born fishers of men. God makes us. And when we think about something that is made, it was not and now it is. There was a heap of material and now it is. God took us as lump of clay and he formed us and he encouraged us and he put us on the potter's wheel. And all the rough edges he knocked off of us until he formed us and shaped us into who we are today. Come follow me. And I will. And whatever it is in your heart, if it's in line with God's plans and purposes, because he wants to bless us, he wants to encourage us, then he will make you. But the key is following him. So we can get good advice from Christian counsel. There's nothing wrong with that. We can be inspired by those in the arts, those that worship and praise. We can be inspired by what they say, but are they saying what Jesus says? Are their words, the overflow of the heart, is their mouth speaking of God's goodness? Or are they leading us down a dark alley? It sounds good. There's a word in Scripture in the New Testament that says something like this, the philosophers of this age. And when you look into that word, it says men and women who have a form of godliness but deny God's power. So they look good on the outside, but when you dig a bit further on the inside, they're full of dead man's bones, is how Jesus would put it. There's a philosophy that many Christians are following, and it's a dead philosophy because it leads them down a dead end. It leads them into a pit. One of the first messages the Lord gave me as a youngster when I got born again was the message of the wide path and the narrow path. And the wide path looks so inviting, and the narrow path not so good. The wide path looks so magnificent, and many people would follow the leader because it looks so good. The grass is so green, the fruit is so plentiful. But if we continue on that pathway, the Bible says, we will fall into a pit, and Jesus calls them blind guides. It's the blind leading the blind. And there are people that will follow you because you're you. But are we blind guides? Or are we those that can see the plans and purposes? So we have a responsibility. It's not just about us. It's about those that come up. You know, my children, they will look at me and my wife, Susan. They may not agree with the things I agree with, but they know the difference between darkness and light. They know what is good and what is bad. So all the good that's in us, they'd follow. But they wouldn't follow the bad. You see, one of the worst things we can be as Christians are hypocrites, two-faced. We say one thing and we do another. That's why the church has found itself in so much strife and struggle, but the real church is growing. There is a revival. It's being revived. The breath of God, the ruach of God is being breathed into the nostrils of his people. Why? Because Christians are following Christ. So come follow me, Jesus said, and I will. You fill in the blanks. Come follow me and he will. In Mark 9:2, it says this. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James and John with him and led them up a high mountain. When we look at the transfiguration, we look at the glory of the Lord. Look around this portion of Scripture. I'm just pulling things out just for the sake of this message. Because I want to use the word followed or being led. But when we look at this Scripture, these disciples followed Jesus because they trusted him. But they followed him into the unknown. Now, so often in my life, I want to know the end of the journey. I want to know where I'm going. Now, I think the most blessed people are those that can read a map. because they don't rely on sat-nav. I rely on sat-nav and I end up in a cul-de-sac. Because the place I need to be is over there, behind the housing estate. And I'm here because I followed the sat-nav. But if I could read a map, I could see I was in the wrong place. God has given us a map. He's given us instructions. There are people that are in this church today that if they went somewhere, I would willingly go with them and follow them because I trust them. There's other people in my life that if they went somewhere, I wouldn't. As a teenager, my friends, I grew up in a tough area, and they would say something like this. And when I say we're going to do an off license, that means we're going to go and rob it. That's Norfolk slang. We're going to do an off license. So I would say, fine, I'll see you tomorrow. And I'd go home. Not because I was this super righteous kid, but there was something in me that knew it was wrong. And I chose not to follow them. But many of my friends followed the leader because they was the leader. They were the hardest boy in the gang. They were the ones that when they said jump, you said how high. I was blessed. They said jump, I went no. Unless Jesus says no, I'm not going. There's many things I desire and things I want to do, and I'm sure it's the same for you, but I want Jesus to say, come follow me. That means he's gone before. But you don't understand, Lord, the accusations that have been falsely laid against me. Yes, I do. I've gone before. You don't understand being falsely accused. Yes, I do. I've gone before. You don't understand what it is to be without. Yes, I do. I've gone before. See, there's nothing that the Bible can throw at us that Jesus hasn't already gone. So when we follow, we're following someone that's already been there. And the Bible says through Revelation, we're victorious. Yes? So we know the end of the book. So when we're led, let's be sure who's leading us, where they're leading us. So my encouragement for us as a church, just using these portions of scripture, just using the Jesus says, come follow me and I will. Be assured that he doesn't leave you as orphans. He doesn't leave you on your own. When I was a young boy, a strange lad I was, I used to be quite poetic. And I'd see things in pictures and verse. And I can remember I was probably about 9 years old, just after my granddad had died and a year or so before my father died. And I used to be this loner, and I'd stand behind a shed door. That was off its hinges. Just picture it. That's why I need prayer. Stand behind this shed door, and I'd stand there, and I'd make up this story in my head. I would be all the characters. And then after a couple of hours, I'd go home. How strange. How peculiar. But now, I don't stand behind a door. I stand behind the promises of God. Now, the things that I'm thinking are not my thoughts, they're his thoughts. And not my ways, they're his ways. Don't get me wrong, I'm not super spiritual. I get it wrong on many occasions. But I made a decision when I was 30 years old to follow Christ. So I stopped going round and round the mountain. I start going on Straight Street. It's a journey that we're on. It says this, truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones. He's talking to his disciples here, and he's saying that there is a reward. And Peter says further in this scripture, he's going, we've left everything. And Jesus goes on to say, those that have left houses, family, for my sake, will not lose their inheritance because they've followed me. Jesus made promises in this portion of scripture of an eternal reward and also a physical reward for the here and now. As we follow him, as we give up certain things, certain relationships, certain things we watch, certain things we do, certain people we follow, as we give up for Christ's sake and follow him, then he makes us into the people that we are to be. Because we've followed him, he will prosper us, he will enable us, he will knock the rough edges off. So my encouragement is, when we're asked the question, come follow me, what's Jesus making us? He's making us more righteous. In Luke 22:39, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives. And you know, when you prepare something, if you're ever blessed to be able to minister God's word, you'll read a portion of scripture and then suddenly you'll go, I never saw that. And that's the same with this portion of scripture. It says, went out as usual. I've read this hundreds of times. But because of the message today, as usual, there's things we can do out of habit. We can do them because we've always done them. There's a comedian called Jasper Carrot, and he would write these lines of, he would read the papers and stroll through the insurance claims, and he'd just say what people said on their insurance claims. And one person, I remember this one, he says, I left my house at the normal time, at the usual time, at 9 a.m. to go to work. And as I went out, this car swerved to the left and then swerved to the right, and then I hit the bike in front. But I always go that way. As if it's their fault for being there. You know, when we take this word usual, there's things that we normally do. We do them all the time. We get up in the morning, we pray, or we pray in the afternoon, or we do whatever we do, and then suddenly the unexpected happens. You see, when the unexpected comes, that happened on that day. Jesus went to this mount as normal, as usual, and yet this day was different. And he says to his disciples, pray that you won't fall into temptation. That's why prayer is important, because we are tempted. Temptation is not sin. The Bible says when temptation is fully grown, it turns to sin. So Jesus says here, you might do things as normal. You might go to the normal place to buy a coffee. You might go to the normal park to play with your children. You might go to the normal place of work, and yet there's something different on that particular day. Let's not be those that are overwhelmed by the unexpected, because if we're following Christ, then he'll lead us. That's my message. Come follow me and I will make you into whoever I've called you to be. So God will make us. Even when we do the things that we normally do on a normal day, they're usual to us. They're familiar to us. Let's not allow the enemy to come and rob, steal and destroy just because of the familiar. Because I don't know about you, but there's times where I've got something in my mind and I'm going, right, I'm going to do this, this and this, and then I get a phone call. And if I'm being honest, the immediate reaction is, oh, but I was going to do this. But then the second reaction is not my way, but your way. Not my will, but your way. But my first reaction is fleshly. And that's okay, as long as we end up following the direction and the leading of the Lord. I hope this makes sense. It might seem a little bit all over the place, but there is a thread that runs through it. And right at the beginning, come follow me, and I will. Who are we following? Who are we listening to? Who's our idol? What's the foundation we're building upon? This lady that I had the pleasure of meeting the other day sat in a chair in the corner, and I didn't know her, and you could see the fear in her eyes because of the circumstance that she was in. You could see the fear. But the lovely thing was, she trusted me and she'd never met me, but she followed instruction. And God done a marvelous work. But if I want to lead somebody into the path of the light, I need to be following Jesus. Same with you. In 1 Corinthians 1:12, what I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. Still another says, I follow Christ. Paul goes on to say, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I thank God I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no, no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I baptized the household, and he goes on and goes on. But in 17 he says this, for Christ did not send me to baptize but to preach. So there are people, you will say, are you a Christian? They'll say, I was baptized. I didn't ask you if you was baptized. I've met Christians that have been in fellowship for years, and we ask them about baptism, baptismo, being fully submersed, and they go, I was christened as a child. But that's not the same. This is. I was baptized. I was christened as a child. And I've been to a christening, and they've changed it slightly now, but when I went to Christians, they would say this. They would say, we sign you with the sign of the cross, with the water, as they dip it in. And then they'd get a candle, they'd light the candle, and they'd say, this is the light of the love of the Lord. You have now been born into his family. I would call that person a blind guide. Wouldn't you? Because that's not what the Bible says, is it? It says you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then salvation will come and you will be born again of his Spirit, and then through obedience you're baptized, symbolizing your old life has died and your new life has come. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that a child can come and make a decision for themselves. Can you dedicate a child? Yes. Can you bless a child? Yes. So when I say, are you a Christian? They say, yes, I was baptized as a child. That's not what I asked. And that's not what this portion of Scripture is talking about. It's saying, I need to follow Jesus. And if you're going to follow me, you need to be sure that I follow him. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom or eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power. Leave you with one final scripture. As I say, I'm following Jesus. Who are you following? Jesus says, come follow me and I will. What a wonderful psalm. Most of us, if we're Christians, should know this psalm inside out, back to front, upside down, if we don't read it afresh. But read it line by line. The Lord is my shepherd. When we look at the natural shepherd, the natural shepherd's responsibility is to feed and protect the sheep. Yes? The natural shepherd lays his life down to protect the sheep. In fact, there's a doorway at night when they're put into the pen, and there's a gap, and the old shepherds would lie in front of those gates to protect the sheep. So in the natural, shepherds are there to protect and encourage and to correct. They have a staff and you kind of pull them out of the pit and you whack them on the head at the same time. It's not that I'm going to do that with any of you. It's to protect and correct. But the Lord is my shepherd. You know, not the Lord is your shepherd. He's my shepherd. And if you say that, he's your shepherd. I lack nothing. Everything. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Then it goes on to say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. Come follow me and I will make you. Come follow me and I will make you. I will give you the opportunities to lie in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And this whole picture is an illustration of a sheep that goes between the pasture and the waters to drink. A sheep will not drink from turbulent waters. It needs to be calm to give the best results for most sheep. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. He can only guide us if we're following him. This psalm can only be true for you if you're following Christ. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. This is personal. I fear no evil, even though I walk through the darkest valley. For you, Lord, are with me, your rod and your staff. Your correction and your comfort. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. If you look through the Old Testament illustration of the banquet, and there'd be a table after a victorious fight, and the enemies would be watching. The captives, sorry, would be watching as they feasted upon the spoils. Yet, the picture God gives us here is that he will prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. He will anoint my head with oil. My cup is not half empty. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me. If goodness and love follows you and someone else follows you, then they will receive some of that goodness and love. But who are you following? If you're following Jesus, then you will walk a straight street. You will walk a narrow pathway, but it will lead to life. And anyone that comes behind you will find life as well. All the days of my life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Forever. What a promise. As I leave you with that illustration of God's goodness and what it is to follow him and what it is to trust him and what it is to lay down our ways and follow his ways. So afresh today, just as I had a conversation with this family and said, anything that should not be in your home, remove it. Can I say the same to us as church or anyone who's listening? Anything that shouldn't be in our lives, let's just remove it. So that there is no hindrance, there is no stumbling stone. There is just a clear sight of a clear pathway that we can see clearly to follow Jesus, to look at his ways, to look at his promises, to look at his attributes, to say, Lord, even though I walk through valley experiences, your promise for me is yes and amen. Your promise is that you will defend me, that you will fight my battles for me, that you will give me the words to say when I need to say them, because I'm following you and I'm following your ways. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. We thank you, Father God, that you lead and we follow. Amen. Amen. Thank you.